All right, guys, welcome to the Kaniac Report. And you know what, Brandon?
What?
I didn't like that Boston game very much.
I didn't either.
Coming to you from the heart of Canes country, this is the Kaniac Report, your number one source for everything Carolina Hurricanes, hot takes, predictions, game analysis, and NHL news. And now your hosts, Sam Wallace and Sam Driscoll.
All right, folks, we're back. And as you all know, we are sponsored by SeatGeek. If you use the promo code KaniacReport, you're going to get yourself $20 off. Everybody likes discounted tickets. Playoffs are coming up. Brandon, I'm sure you're going to be wanting to go to some games. And Washington, if we play the Caps, although they lost tonight. Don't know if there's going to be a playoff game in Washington.
If there is, I'll have my koozie.
I love those. And breaking news, I have now bought a new jersey, and it is a Kuznetsov jersey. So I'm excited for that. But yes, use our SeatGeek promo. You're going to like it. You're going to get yourself some discounted tickets. First time buyer, if you have a bunch of emails, you know, I'm not telling you what not to do. Also, if you'd like, you can give us donations. It's how we upgrade our equipment. It's how we try and get you guys a better product. Again, if you can, awesome. If not, no worries. We keep doing this because we like it. All right, now that we've got housekeeping out of the way, I'm going to introduce my host today. You heard in the beginning, got Brandon from The Warning Take, friend of ours. Great podcast crew we got with Kaniac Sessions, The Warning Take, and us. Welcome, first time on the podcast, I believe, with just you and me.
Thank you. I'm glad that I finally made it on here with you. I've been wanting to make it on for a while, but as you can see, since the folks on audio can't hear it, but as you can tell, behind me is a barren wasteland full of boxes. We just got done getting moved into our new place, so I'll be able to do this more often here soon.
Well, we are thrilled to have you on. We've talked about it a few times. That'd be fun for you and I to have a conversation because that might be interesting. Absolutely. And we hope to make this entertaining for everyone who is listening. All right. Yes, go ahead.
I was going to say, and eventually we'll carve out one day where either on here or on my channel, we have to have a Star Wars talk. Yes. Like we got to block off like 3 hours for that though.
Oh, especially if there were Star Wars news today. So we'll add Star Wars news before NHL news. Tales of the Empire trailer dropped today. It is like a spinoff, it looks like, of Tales of the Jedi, except we're going in the other way. It's going to follow Barriss Offee and what was her name? It's crazy. I can't blank. I'm blanking on her name, but it's the person from Ahsoka who helped to get Thrawn back, and her name is just completely.
Oh, I never watched Ahsoka, so.
Well, it's the person who helped Thrawn get Ahsoka get Thrawn back, and for whatever reason, I'm blanking on her name, which is absolutely bizarro to me because I actually really like that character. you know, that's awesome if you liked all those like cartoon shows. And all of that other stuff, I think it's going to be really fun for that. Again, you and I both love Star Wars. So for me, it's just if they keep putting out Star Wars, I'm going to keep watching it because I cannot help myself. I don't know if you feel the same way.
I love the Clone Wars. Everything that you've ever made since then, I've not really been into.
Yeah, I can understand that. I've liked a lot of the new TV shows. I think a lot of people like the shows. Just not as big of a fan of the movies. And I understand that. And I can respect that. But we'll go on to NHL news because former Carolina Hurricanes All-Star Rookie of the Year, Jeff Skinner, hits 1,000 games. And fun fact, too, because I'm going to rib him just a tad. He's never played in a playoff game. And he is currently the longest active player in the NHL who's never played in a playoff game.
Yeah, and what's funny about that is a certain other media outlet that I won't mention that loves to talk about Pyotr Kochetkov also said that Jeff Skinner should have played his 1,000th game with the Carolina Hurricanes, but if you don't trade him, you don't get Kochetkov. We literally traded him to get the pick that we used to get Kochetkov and Alexander Nikishin. I am happy for Skinny that he's had the career longevity he's had. I really did like him. I don't think he would have been a good fit here long term, especially once Brendamore took over. I would like to see him play a playoff game, but somewhere other than Buffalo would be nice because I don't like them. So
I guess I must be in the minority. I love what we got back for Skinner. I think it's turned out like it's going to be a big win for us. At the time, I was like, really? The fact that we got a player named Clift Poo kind of made that's kind of how I felt that trade was. It was Poo.
Yeah.
But I love Jeff Skinner. Again, I grew up with Jeff Skinner. He was like the best player that a team had. Him, Eric Staal, Cam Ward, UC Okanen, like that was like the core of that team for the many years, really, in the bad times. And I love Jeff Skinner. I really felt bad that he never had a chance to be here. And I feel like Rod should have been, look, there's no secret that I have had my issues with his system. And I have for probably the last 3 years. I think Jeff Skinner would have fit well if Rod could get over his ego a little bit and allow Skinner to play that offensive game. Because I feel like Skinner and Natchez are kind of similar in their skating ability, their offensive ability. I think Natchez's defensive ability is a little bit better. But if he allows Skinner's skill to take over, he's a goal scorer. We've got one now in Jake Gensel, and you can just see how that's improved. But great for Skinner hitting that 1,000 game. I really like him as a player. I think he's a great guy and fan favorite here for a very long time. So I would love to see him in the playoffs. It's not going to happen in Buffalo. I don't know if it's a culture thing or if that team just can't do it for some reason. Maybe they need new ownership like we had, but eventually he's going to leave Buffalo. He'll get a playoff game at some point.
Yeah, I can see him when he's getting near the end of his contract, when he's got like 2 years left or something like that. They'll probably trade him out with some salary retained or something like that. And going back to the trade itself, I would be lying if I said I was happy with it at the time. Now, here's the way I knew it was coming. I remember I was sitting in my truck one day. I had a game that night at one of the rinks up here, and I was listening to Adam Gold's show, and he had Eric Cole on. And Eric Cole basically called Jeff Skinner by name about how he felt like he wasn't going to adapt to the team. And then he was traded about 3 weeks later. I think they did that to get him to waive his no trade clause, because he had a full no trade clause. Now, whether that actually really played a role into it or not, I don't know. But when it did initially happen, I was kind of like, just as we're about to be good, we're going to trade a guy who, yeah, he was kind of down for a season, but he also had 37 goals before that. And we can't score to save our lives. Power play is not good. Why would you subtract from something that's already kind of at the floor? And then it ultimately ended up working out for the better. But at the time, I was not happy about it either. I really was not.
No, I mean, you kind of looked what you got and you're like, really? We didn't even get a first for Jeff Skinner?
Yeah.
It's like, he's a 40 goal scorer. I mean, he hadn't done it, I don't think, yet for us. But I mean, in reality, that's what he is. He's a guy who's going to pop 40. And he scores in Buffalo. So it's not like they have an issue scoring. It is not their problem. They can score. And Jeff Skinner's proven that he's that goal scorer. And at the end of the day, I felt at the time the trade was, he wanted to be captain. I think rightfully so. He wanted to be captain at the time. There was nobody else. I liked Jordan Staal, but at the time I thought it should be Skinner. I think he had put in the work. He was the best player. He had been acting like a leader for a while there. I thought it made sense to give it to Jeff Skinner at the time. And at the end of the day, they were like, you're not going to be the captain. It's going to be Justin Williams. You know, it's going to be this, you know, you're like, it's not going to be you. So they move him. And at the end of the day, they just, you knew they weren't going to sign him. And I think that's why he's out. And Cliff Poo and picks were in.
Yeah. And one other thing, like, a lot of people want to talk about Jeff Skinner's defensive game or a lack thereof it. At the same time, though, he had some Datsuki and takeaway capability in the offensive zone, because with as good as his edge work is, once he works and gets inside body positioning on somebody, he was one of the best at, you know, sneaking the stick in there, lifting it and taking the puck and being gone the other way before you knew it. It's just, I hate it that he hasn't played a playoff game yet. He will eventually. There's no way that he doesn't. He'll get traded to a contender at some point or another. He's too good of a player not to be. And I do think that he had, in fact, earned his chance at captaincy. And part of that I blame Bill Peters for, too, because it seemed like he wasn't really big on the idea of having an actual captain to the point where he did the co-captaincy thing. And we know how well that worked out.
Yeah. And if you listen to what Adam Gold talked about it, Rod wasn't happy about it either.
No,
it was a and Adam has said it too on our podcast, on his show, everywhere. Bill Peters did it for its ego. He wanted to be like, we're here because of me,
right?
Not because of Williams, not because of Jordan Staal, Justin Faulk, or anything. And there just was no leadership in that room that year, at least none to the point where it was like, okay, right? And then it came out that Bill Peters had abused some players, and he was obviously not a good guy. He's never going to coach in the NHL again. So, you know, it proved to be a problem. At the end of the day, it's sad where you would look at the records and you think, you know what, I guess Kirk Muller was a better coach than Bill Peters, and Kirk Muller was really bad.
Yeah, that's sad. I never thought I would hear anybody say that, but you're absolutely right about it. And that was the other weird thing about it. I remember one of the reasons why he said that they were going to, when Peters said they were going to name a captain the last season that he was the bench boss in Carolina, I remember he specifically, one of the ways that he answered the question, I think Luke Dukak asked him about it, and he said, yes, we're going to get a captain this year because I'm tired of people asking me about it. And then he did the co-captaincy thing, which I'm kind of like, okay, let's see how this works out. I didn't expect it to, and clearly it didn't, but.
Nope. Well, let's talk about another captain of another team mm-hmm. who is the greatest player of our generation, at least my generation, to come up and to watch, who's grown up watching the game. Mm-hmm. Sidney Crosby reaches a point per game mark for the 19th season as that ties Gretzky's record. He is in elite company with Wayne Gretzky. Sidney Crosby, the best two-way player in the game, best playmaker in the game, best player of his era, best player of his generation. My Caps fans will say it's Ovechkin, and I will say, what are you smoking? Ovechkin's got only goal scoring ability. He can't play defense. He's one of the laziest players in the National Hockey League. Sidney Crosby is end to end one of the greatest players in the National Hockey League. He's won multiple Stanley Cups, not just one. He has won gold. Sidney Crosby is the greatest player of our, really, growing up playing, watching hockey. I mean, you watch Sidney Crosby. I mean, hated it because he's in our division, but
yeah,
Crosby's, I mean, and I'm sorry to say, Crosby's better than Ovechkin. He might not score like Ovechkin, but all Ovechkin can do is score goals. So you got to give it to Crosby, and he's done it again. I don't think Ovechkin's anywhere close to a point per game this year. Mm-hmm. So great, great for Sidney Crosby, especially with a team that's struggled this year, and good for Pittsburgh. They won tonight.
So yeah, they're not going Michael away. Bunting had a couple of points in that one too, from what I heard. I didn't get the chance to check the box score on it yet. I just know, I live up by DC, so all my Caps friends were texting me. Like, I'm not going to repeat exactly what it said, but blankety blank, Michael Bunting. I hate Michael Bunting, and I'm all like hearing all this other stuff. But you know, that's one thing I do discuss with people a lot of times. So speaking of Crosby getting the 19th point per game season, I think him getting 20 is inevitable. I can definitely see him doing that next year. 82 points for someone like him is not going to be a problem.
And age hasn't caught up with him yet.
Not yet. No. When it does, it's going to hit him like a ton of bricks, I think. I think that's what's going to happen. All, you know, Burns eventually. The fall off is going to be drastic and noticeable. It's just going to, one day his body's just going to be like, all right, bro, that's enough. You've made your money. Let's hang it up. But also, like, oh, sorry about that. Another thing about that is like, there's a lot of people here who, you know, say Ovechkin is better strictly from scoring goals. And a lot of them will say that he's the greatest player that's ever lived. But I can't concede that a guy who's never killed a penalty, never taken a face off, never had a defensive aspect to his game at all, I can't concede that. He is the greatest pure goal scorer that's ever lived. I will give him that. He's not someone I would even rank in the top 10 of players all time. There's so many I would put ahead of him.
Yeah, I mean, Ovechkin is, I refuse to call him the greatest goal scorer till he passes Gretzky. I do that, one, to piss off my Caps fans and friends.
I love doing that.
And two, I just hate his guts because I think he's dirty too. The 1 year Ovechkin, if the Caps had kept Barry Trotz, that was the biggest mistake they ever did. And mm-hmm. I don't know if they didn't, maybe they didn't keep him. One, he wanted money. I cannot conceive that's the real reason they let him go. Mm-hmm. Caps won a cup. Good for them. But Ovechkin had to play defense the year they won the cup. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? I'm sure he did not enjoy that.
No.
Crosby can do it all, and he doesn't have to have it. And he's done most of it with this current coach.
Yeah, and that's something else I told people up here. I'm like, you know, even when Crosby gets older, you can still have him in special team situations. He's still going to be out there when the game's on the line. He might not be pulling, you know, as heavy minutes 5-on-5 as he was, but he's still going to be, you know, very serviceable in all situations. I don't think he's going to be clocking 17 minutes a night for the rest of his life, but he's still going to be used in, like, serious situations like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, Sidney's kid is one of the greatest players. He has not shown his age yet, at least not much. So I guess we can move on now to Carolina Hurricanes news. And this came out today because it was kind of quiet, really, except for one thing. And we're going to say the big thing for last.
Yes.
This four-day break. Jesperi Kotkaniemi scratched tonight. I guess you could say everyone saw it coming after the game tonight. I'm probably going to find somebody to scratch. I lean toward Fast. I didn't think he had a great game.
I don't think he's 100% yet from his injury. I think that maybe he needs a little bit more time.
I don't either. And at the end of the day, for me, when you couldn't score but one goal, you need offense. Mm-hmm. So maybe I scratch Foss one more game. And not really scratch. It's like he's nicked up. You don't even have to call it healthy scratch. Like, dude, just take another day.
Yeah.
And give KK in. KK, whether you like it or not, has more offensive talent to his game than Foss. And you're playing Washington. If you have more skill on the ice and the Caps, you should beat them.
Right.
They only have Ovechkin.
Mm-hmm.
They traded everybody else away. They have Ovechkin and they have Tom Wilson. So they're either going to play you dirty or they're just going to let Ovechkin stand there and try and score. And I think you can beat them if that's the case. Ovechkin will get one. You can score four. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Caps are that good.
They're not.
KK scratched. First time this year was a healthy scratch. I guess everyone thought it was inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
Once you got Kuznetsov and you got healthy, you knew, okay, Kuzi's going to be your number two center. He's clearly more skilled. He's elite. And he's played very well.
Incredibly well, because I know that when he first went on waivers, we were all in our little we like our group chat, and we all had our various opinions on whether you pick him up or not. And I'm glad that they waited because they got him, you know, for just a third rounder and 50% retained on the salary, because the money was the big issue, I think, with Carolina or pretty much anybody picking him up.
Yeah.
And you know, all the guy needed, I really think, was a fresh start. He needed to change scenery.
Yeah. And he wanted to play for Rod, and Rod wanted him. And I think that's big, too.
See, that's what surprised me, because Kuznetsov's got a reputation for not being the best defensive type of player. But, you know, those two, they really got along at the All-Star game a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of like he brings him in, and, you know, you see him and, you know, you see Kuzi and Fishy talking on the bench and everything. And it's like he's telling him, hey, do this in this situation, do this in that situation. And I don't want to say his adaptation has been seamless, but it's been very good. You know, he's in the right place at the right time when he doesn't have possession of the puck. And as far as his ability to distribute the puck, it's amazing. Like, guys didn't know to have their stick down because they're like, oh, whoa, he just passed it. And it went past them at light speed. And they're like, oh, wait, now it's over there bouncing off the boards. So, like, that was one of the pickups I was kind of skeptical of, and then it worked out really well. So
I would like to say from the beginning, I said pick him up. As soon as I saw it, I tweeted, I was like, get that man, because I know what Kuznetsov can do.
And you also said Rod would get him going, and you were right.
Yeah, and I believe that. I believe Kuznetsov, that kind of guy. I like project players, and they've all worked out here. Yep. Tony D'Angelo worked out here. Dougie Hamilton has worked out here. And now Kuznetsov, Nino Niederreiter, players that are considered projects, discount players who've had a great past, but maybe recently haven't worked, have been very good. Kuznetsov, the recent in that. And I think that's a steal for us. Would not shock me if he gets extended sometime in the offseason.
It wouldn't only surprise because me either.
I think they like him and I think he likes to fit. And if a deal can be done, they do it. Granted, I put him at the bottom of the needs so you got to do this offseason. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's for another day, and I'm sure we'll all get together and have a meeting of the minds once we get to the offseason, hopefully after lifting the cup of what you got to do.
Yeah.
But next, let's talk about the big one, the big, big, most important thing that happened this week. Probably our second, third prospect, depending on who you're talking about. Scott Morrow gets his first NHL deal, three-year contract, entry-level deal. I think it was like $875 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Starts this season, so... One, I expect him to get a game or two. My expectation is he plays the last game against Chicago and Columbus. I think those are our last two games. Because I think after tonight, I think the President's Trophy's race is over. Carolina's not going to catch New York. It's just not conceivable at this point.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? You are the expert when it comes to some of these guys. So I will let you take it away. Talk to me about Scott Morrow. What is awesome about him? Why is this great for the team?
So here's at minimum what you're getting with Scott Morrow. At a minimum, you're getting a well above replacement defenseman in terms of what he does in our end. And as far as his ability to create offense on transition, do stretch passes, hold the offensive zone, walk the blue line, be used on the power play, everything like that, everything you expect out of the prototypical offensive defenseman, he gives you that. He really does. He's one of those players that once he gets possession, it's like he turns into a completely different player. His skating ability, he goes into a stride really quick. He takes one or two quick steps and he's full speed ahead. He's gone. He's good at creating time and space. He's very deceptive. He'll do things like rock the hips and roll the wrists on the way by somebody to bait him into thinking that he's going to, you know, zig when he's going to zag. And next thing you know, he's created a ton of time and space. And even if you do take it away from him, his ability to distribute the puck makes up for that. On the high end of the ceiling, you're getting another Brady Shea. Like, there's a distinct possibility he is literally that player all over again. Where a lot of people have said, is he going to be kind of like Tony DeAngelo in a lot of ways? Yes. But where Scott Morrow makes up for what
bigger.
Tony, what he's bigger. That's the biggest thing. He makes up for where the gap control might not be the best. He makes up for that with his size. He's 6'2". He's got a lot of reach. So he's, like I said, you've got a guy who's going to do great things with possession. He's got a great shot. I really love watching his edge work more than anything. He loves to walk the blue line. He'll do that 5-on-5 and on the power play, and he loves to generate offense himself. He's very much one of those guys. I don't want to call him a game breaker, but he's definitely someone who's like, when we're down by a goal, you want him out there.
So someone commented on a post of ours when we posted about Scott Morrow, and they said they feel like this means Pesci's out. I responded. I said, given his style, I don't think this means Pesci's out. My fear is it means Shea is out. Because I feel what he can do is going to be replaceable. It's comparable to what Shea does, except maybe he doesn't quite have that defensive ability yet. I'm sure he will get there. He's really young player. Do you think that's a fair assessment, that this could mean the end of Brady Shea? And I hate that. For the record, I think the most important player, and I'm going to disagree with everybody, I signed Brady Shea first. Jarvis is an RFA. You can take your old time, Jarvis. You got all summer. Qualify him, get it done before the start of four puck drop. The moment the Stanley Cup finals are over, sign Brady Shea. There is nobody on this roster that I think is more valuable on that blue line than Brady Shea right now. I mean, I feel like Scott Morrow means no more Brady Shea. Could also just mean no more Tony DeAngelo. I don't know. Wouldn't shock me if Tony comes back either, because you're going to lose some people. So it's a matter of, okay, Tony can come back cheap. And this year we can be like, yeah, you're actually going to play because we lost some folks. Because that's just the reality. Some people aren't coming back. But I think either way, Scott Morrow allows this to be a more affordable blue line next season, because you're going to lose somebody with money.
Yeah. And, you know, Slavin's due for a deal. And you have to sign him. Now, the one thing that I think, as far as the spelling the N for Pesci or Shea, either one, I think it's a little bit more complex than that. So, like you're talking about the possibility of us winning the cup this year, here's some other things we have to consider if that does happen. If we win the cup, does Brent Burns play his last year of his contract, or does he ride off into the sunset? Same thing for Jordo, when it's pretty abundantly clear who the next captain of this team is going to be. You know, there's talk of, apparently the Hurricanes have told Jackson Blake, hey, we want to go ahead and sign you. Felix Unger Sorum, I bet he makes the team next year, especially if there's room for him.
I view Sorum as the replacement for
Teravainen.
Yeah, because I let Tavo go at the end of the season. I've said that almost all season, not because I think Tavo's played poorly, but because I want that money to go elsewhere, and you clearly have a replacement for Teravainen. And I know you're like, oh, people are like, you can't replace Teravainen. Well, I can't afford to keep everybody you like. So at this point, you have to decide who's in, who's out. You actually have a good young group of guys who can come in now. Tavo's got to go. Then Tavo's got to go. And it sucks. It really does. It's been a core of this team since, good gracious, Ronnie Francis got him. So
if he comes in below his current cap hit, which I believe is 5.65, if he'll stay for less than that with not too terribly much term, because he's on the other side of 30, keep him. But I would say, I would definitely say that, like, you've got a one-for-one replacement for Teravainen. And I wouldn't call Scott Morrow a Shea replacement, at least not yet. He's definitely not a Pesci replacement. They fill two completely different roles. The only thing they have in common is that they're right-handed. But Morrow and Pesci are about as different as Tony DeAngelo and Brett Pesci are. My personal belief on prioritizing on the blue line right now is actually Chatfield, just to keep the top four intact, because then you have Slavin, Burns, Orlov, and Chatfield for the next season. Then you can have Scott Morrow slot in on the right side on the third pair, and left-handed third pair defensemen are one of the easiest things to either go out on the free agent market and get, and you don't have to trade for, because if there's a dime a dozen position in defense, it's left-handed shutdown guys for the third pair. So you could go get a Calvin DeHaan type of player to fill that role. Yeah, there's a multitude of options there with that. I personally would prioritize Chatfield, but I definitely see what you're saying with Shea. Shea is the most valuable defenseman in all three ends on this team, or in all three zones, excuse me.
And I'll be honest, he has earned the pay raise, and he has earned the contract. And yes, if it's with us, awesome. If not, I'm not going to fault this dude, because unlike Dougie, I think Shea is worth almost Dougie money, because Shea provides it all. He provides that offense. He provides that defensive ability. He's physical too. I mean, dude's just great in all situations.
Great shot.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So we've gone through Hurricanes news. We're going to take a quick second here and let you guys hear from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Boston Bruins and Carolina Hurricanes game.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boo Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 24. All rights reserved.
All right, we're back. We are going to discuss a game. And as I was watching this game, Brandon, I was thinking of something comparable. I was trying to think of, okay, what else is here? I felt like Carolina just wasn't good for about 10 minutes tonight. I think they didn't get to their game tonight, but I didn't think they were bad after that first 10, 15 minutes of the game. I would like to compare this to the game against Tampa Bay when we lost 8-2, where Carolina was only down 3-2 going into the third, and then it just exploded, right? Mm-hmm. Carolina didn't give up any penalty kills, which is the difference here. But they were piss poor for 10 minutes, and Boston made them pay quickly three times.
Yes.
Right? I don't really blame Anderson. I don't think you can blame Anderson.
No.
If you want to say you should have had one, I would say the Marchand goal, maybe breakaways, you know, you don't have to have, but it'd be nice if you got one. And it was 5-hole. That's never fun to let allow if you're a goalie. But this game, I would say flush it, because I think I also think you can take a lot of good out of the last 40 minutes, maybe?
I'd say so. They really started building a game about 10 minutes after the, or 10 minutes into the second period, I would say. So, yeah, I'd say that's about right.
And you absolutely cannot go into this game, go into the playoffs thinking, oh, we can't beat Boston. I have news for them. You did beat Boston. You beat them in 7. You can do that again if you end up playing them. At the end of the day, again, starting to run out of time here, but we'll kind of recap it again. Again, Boston scores 3. It's 3-0. At that point, you're kind of just sitting there like, oh my God, I feel sorry. I didn't go to the game tonight. Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for all the Hurricanes fans who are at the game and all the fake Hurricanes fans who are wearing their Boston Bruins jerseys. I'm like, get the hell out of the building.
Yeah, and then they throw it in the closet and pull their Canes one back out until until Boston comes back to town again. Rangers fans do that. And
the sad is I sit next to one. I didn't know this. He's a season ticket holder. He says he asked to buy some tickets, and I'm more than happy to help season ticket holder. You know, I'll help folks who wanted to buy our tickets for the Columbus game. And I was like, sure, I'll sell them to you at cost. He's like, here, that's awesome. Thanks so much for that. I won't wear my Bruins jersey on Thursday. I was like, excuse me?
Oh, wow.
I was like, I appreciate it, but you suck. You like Boston. But look, really what I want to talk about this game is, one, I feel like there's a lot of good. I think Gensel scoring is huge. I think Freddie Anderson continuing to play well is huge. I think he played great. I think Swayman played better. You can argue we got goalie tonight. I think that's fair. I think you can argue there were some coaching questions to be answered. I didn't like it when he jumbled the lines in the third. I didn't think that helped.
I don't either.
I think it actually made it a little worse.
I was going to say next was, like, they looked like they were starting to build a game, and then he swaps Svechnikov and Gensel, and I'm like, I don't know about this. We'll see how it works, and really didn't. No, but Swayman did absolutely stand on his head, though.
And if I'm to make a statement, because I think at this point the statement should be made, I didn't think Svech played good. He took another stupid penalty tonight.
The one on and McAvoy? I mean, that was dumb.
And I mean a stupid penalty.
He executed a really good hit. And then he got mad about something, turned around and hits him in the face with the stick, and he draws that double minor, and then the penalty kill had to come up big again. And that, you know, that's 4 minutes we could have spent 5-on-5. That's four minutes we could have potentially been at the other end of the ice, but he made a big mistake there. And it's like every time he starts getting where he's not as bad about taking these stupid penalties, he goes back and he takes another one. And he already knows that he's not exactly on good terms with the officials as it is.
Yeah. So. And at the end of the day, it took a 5-on-3 for Carolina to score. Like I said, Jake Gensel got the only goal tonight. I don't really want to concentrate on that because it's a 5-on-3. You should score. And I really don't. And I'm not in the mood to give them props for scoring on a 5-on-3 because you really should. It's when you don't, you should have that conversation of why didn't you score. So I want to ask you a couple things about this game, and then we'll finish up for the night. One is about a player, and the other thing is a little bit about, we'll say, ticket sales. One, for the player, tomorrow night we play the Caps back-to-back. Svech played poorly tonight. You think it's time to scratch Svechnikov? Throw KK in.
I think Svech needs one game in the press box and just to get your head together. The playoffs are coming up. You need him there. You need him to be who we're capable of seeing there. We need 2022 playoffs Svechnikov, or at least 2022 first-round Svechnikov. He's whatever's going on with him is mental right now. It seems like that there's a disconnect between his game and his brain. And sometimes going to the press box for a game is a good way to make the determination of, like, you know, what he might be doing wrong and everything like that. So at this point, it can't hurt, especially considering we're at the last stretch of the season. It's pretty much solidified that we're going to finish second in the Metro. There's not much else to decide. As far as that goes, I can care less if we catch the Rangers. It's more of this is a good time to give maintenance days.
Yep.
Rest guys, do what you got to do. And part of maintenance days are mental maintenance days. Svechnikov's problems are between his ears right now. So this is a good chance for him to hit the mental reset button and go, all right, playoff time. I got to get ready.
Yeah, and I think the shell shock might do it for him. Like, oh my goodness, I guess I too can be scratched. And he's going to be here for another 5-6 seasons. I think it's about as long as that contract's going for. So it's not like he's going anywhere. So scratch him for a game. It doesn't kill you to do that. So I agree. I think you should scratch him. And then my last question to you. So you're out of market, right, when you watch these games. I have been making the argument that the Carolina Hurricanes need to start geo-restricting tickets against teams like the Boston Bruins, the New York Rangers, the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Toronto Maple Leafs. As a season ticket holder, I'm sick and tired of going to these games and seeing it. Now I know I live in Cary. You got a lot of those folks here. But I also know I've been to a game when they geo-restricted tickets against the Rangers. And it wasn't anywhere near as bad as what I had to deal with when I went to the Rangers game. And I've been to a Boston playoff game, and it wasn't anywhere near as bad as what Sam Wallace had to deal with tonight against the Boston Bruins. Is it time to geo-restrict tickets when you play these big market teams?
Yes. Or there's one other solution that I had an idea for. Start surcharging road fans. If you want, okay, let's say, for example, I go to Capital One Arena and I've got one of my Hurricanes things on and I have to pay an extra $50 to wear it, so be it, I'll do that. Yeah, I'd be all right with that so that hometown fans can still have a hometown experience, even if I don't like them. Geo-restricting the tickets in a place like Carolina in particular is a great idea because of the amount of subplants that have moved from other markets there, and it's ruining the experience for people who actually live there. And one thing I think that we're going to have to do as fans is start calling out these guys to the greatest extent we can, like we were just talking about, ones who wear their Hurricane sweater for 39 games a season and then throw their Rangers one on for two, or throw their Bruins one on for two. Like, it's very disingenuous. I personally don't like it. I mean, it's their money, it's their tickets, their sweaters. They can do whatever they want. But I think that the fans who are there full time are the ones that need to be prioritized in that particular case. So yes, I say geo restrict it, surcharge from wearing the road team's threads if you need to, something. But it needs to change. That's part of the reason I don't come down there for those games. But yeah, like you were talking about
tonight.
Yeah, like you were talking about, like, I can tell the difference even on TV. Mm-hmm. Like when I was watching the Hurricanes play against the Bruins and the Rangers in the playoffs, I'm like, okay, I see mostly red and black in there. Geo restricting it is probably a good idea.
Yeah, like I said, it worked in the playoffs. They've done it before. They took flack for it, and that was bizarre. I'm like, really? The Mets mm-hmm. have done it? Like, I can mm-hmm. I can name New York teams who have done it. It's a normal practice, especially in the playoffs. You want home ice to mean something.
Yes.
Well, Brandon, we're running out of time. Is there any one last little thing you want to talk about the game? Scott Morrow, anything? I'll open up the floor to you for the last, we'll give you 90 seconds.
No, not really. This has been a really good, fun conversation, though. It was good to have after that kind of poor performance on the part of the team. But it's just defensive zone puck management was bad. You know, I don't blame this one on Freddie. I feel like everybody shares a little bit of the blame tonight for they just didn't play well. I know they didn't have a morning skate. They've been off for 4 days. The rust is off. They've got no excuse tomorrow night.
That's true. You're going to have two teams very pissed off, which will be tonight when you listen to it. Washington got beat by Pittsburgh. They're not going to be very happy. Carolina got beat by Boston. They're not going to be very happy. At the end of the day, I will take angry Aho over angry anybody on Washington. Any day of the week, I think Carolina's going to win. Prediction for the game tonight, I think Carolina wins 5-1. What do you got?
5-1 sounds about right to me. I won't get to watch it, though. I'll actually be, me and my girlfriend are going to a musical. We have to do something that she likes once in a while. So she's been, the poor girl's been to 3 hockey games and 2 baseball games with me in the last calendar year. So I should do something with her once in a while.
There you go. I think that's fair. All right, Brandon, thanks for joining us. Tell everybody where they can find you.
I'm on X and I'm on YouTube at The Warning Take. And thank you very much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure that we finally got to do this.
Absolutely. Anytime. Go check him out. Thank you, guys. Have a good night. Enjoy the game tonight.
Yep. Good night, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Kaniac Report. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. Can't get enough of the Kaniac Report? For more content or to connect with the Sams, check them out on Instagram and Twitter at the Kaniac Report. We'll see you next time.